Good evening.
What is your goal in life? If that is something that you are working towards, if that is something that you are striving for, how wonderful would it be if you would actually be able to lay hold of that? Well, I think the answer to that lies in whether or not whatever it is that we're striving for is actually something worth striving for. Where we're going to be at tonight is going to be in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to be in beginning in verse 10. And here in Genesis chapter 19, we're kind of jumping into the middle of things. We're jumping into the middle of the last night ever in the city of Sodom. Lot has taken in a couple of men into his house, a couple of angels, and they're the men of the city of Sodom have all gathered at the door of Lot because they want to take these men and commit wickedness with them. But this is what we read in verse 10. But the men reached out their hands and they brought Lot into the house with them, and they shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Now, the thing that I find amazing but also incredibly terrible and sad about this section of Scripture is that these men who are at the door, at Lot's door, who have been miraculously blinded and had their sight taken away, they don't stop. They don't flee. They don't flee in terror. They don't give up. But it says that they continue to weary themselves trying to find the doorway. They continue to weary themselves after what has already caused them so much harm. They are certainly wearying themselves over something that is not worth it. Now, we have absolutely no idea how many people were blinded that night in Sodom. But one of the things that we do know for sure is within our lives, there are a lot of eyes around us. And a lot of those eyes can see very well, and they can see us very well. Do those eyes see us wearing ourselves out? We can be pretty good at that, can't we? But what is it that we are seen striving for? What is it that we are seen wearing ourselves out for? And if that thing within our life, I mean, I'm not saying that thing within our life is evil, like we see here in this story of Sodom, but I guess the question that we should ask is it worth it? The other text that we're going to be flipping to this evening is going to be in Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, and in verse 20 of Deuteronomy 30, Moses is speaking to Israel, and he tells them that the Lord God is the life and the length of their days. Now, do you think that Moses is hinting at what Israel should be grasping for? It's more than a hint, isn't it? Do you think that if Israel were to strive for God first, do you think they would be disappointed? We will not be disappointed either. We need to have a goal worth working for. And above all else in this life, the answer to what that would be is God. Now, I want to jump a little bit further back in the story of Sodom in Genesis 19, and I'm going to be back in verse 3. We read, yet Lot urged the angels strongly, so that they turned aside to him and entered the house, and he prepared a feast for them, and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot, and they said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, so that we may have relations with them. Now, generally, I think it's really neat whenever young and old come together. I think that's a really neat thing when you have ages of all different spectrums working towards the same goal. But not here. What a shame it is that when we read in verse 4, there are young and old working towards the same goal, this is what they're working towards. How disappointing is that? Now, obviously, we have to account for ourselves. Nobody forces us to do anything. But I wonder if part of the reason why this younger group of men are here is because this is the example they grew up with. These are the men that they grew up with. They have watched as their elders have pursued things that do not need to be pursued. And now they're doing the same thing. They're pursuing after them. Now, the question for us this evening is, if someone followed our example, if someone followed our example of what is number one in our life, where would that example lead them? God said this to his people in Isaiah 52 in verse 9. He said, "Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God." We are an example of God and of his salvation. And we are an example not just to the next generation, but we are an example to the entire world of God. We are the example that leads them to the true example, the real example of Jesus Christ. What example do people see when they look at us? Do they see us striving for any other door except for the one that leads to God? Because there is not a single door on this earth. There is not a single thing on this earth. And whether that is evil or not or whatever it is, there is not a thing that we can grasp at that if we actually got hold of it would lead us to happiness or meaning like God would. What is important in our life? Well, God said in Exodus 20 and verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." And obviously we're talking about idolatry here. We're talking about wood gods not being higher, stone gods not being higher. But you know, the question is, what should be? What is it that should be higher than God? Well, we see in Deuteronomy 30 in verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it." There is only one path that is worth striving for. There is only one goal that is worth working hard and diligently for, and that is the one that leads us to God. That is the example that we should be setting. That is the example that people should see in us. And yes, the younger generations need to see that. Our children need to see that. They need to see that God is first within our lives. But we younger Christians, I guess, I don't know if I can include myself in that or not. Younger Christians, we want to see that from older Christians. We want to see that God is first in your life, to be an example of encouragement to us. And again, I'm saying us. I don't know if that's me or not. But also, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I believe that the older Christians want to see that from the younger Christians. That God is first in our lives. That is what we are driving for. That is the main goal of our life, to be an encouragement to them. We should all be examples to each other, so that we all know that we are working together towards something that's actually worth working for. Young and old, shoulder to shoulder, we are working towards what really gives purpose in this life, and that is God, through the door that leads to him, Jesus Christ. Now, the path to God is certainly not the one that the men of Sodom were grasping for. And what did that end up leading to? They were blinded. And the truth is, if we strive for anything above God in this life, we will become more and more blind. That is when we begin to stumble. That is when we begin to grow fearful. That is when we begin to lose sight of what is truly important. Now, it's not bad to go after things, to have goals, to go after jobs, to, you know, whatever goal we may have in this life. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But if the main thing that we're striving for, the main goal within this life, is anything other than God and his righteousness and being the servants that he desires us to be, very simply, we're making the wrong choice. We read in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 30, "But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess it. If anything other then God takes his place within our life as the number one thing that we are striving for, and we are drawn away. We are drawn away just the same as any other idolater as there has ever been in history. We are being drawn away, and what is the result of that? Well, we could be completely drawn away from God, and if we do that, we will surely perish. There's no way around that. Or, at the very least, we'll come to our senses when the thing that we are pursuing after, we finally realize that it does not satisfy the way that God does. It will never complete us the way that God does." We look at the people, the men of Sodom, if you can call them men. We look at the men of Sodom, and they literally wearied themselves to death. Genesis 19 and verse 23. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. These men spent their lives striving after evil, striving after wickedness. And this is the result. And maybe something that is more applicable in our lives is they strove after something that would never be worth it, that was worthless. Well, we read this in Isaiah 40 in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous men, young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. There is so much weariness and tiredness striving for the things of this life. But if we seek after God, if we tire ourselves searching after God, we will never grow tired. If we weary ourselves grasping for God, we will never be weary. We can choose to go after anything that we want. We can choose to strive after anything we want. We can choose whatever goal we want to put for first in our life. But the big question is, why would we? Why would we ever do that? Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Decision is always before us. It is always there, and we always have the ability to give our choice. And if our choice is this evening, tomorrow, every single day, it is God who is going to be my goal in life and going to be first in life. Well, number one, we're not blind. We're not blind to the things that are important in this life. We are seeing things pretty well. We are setting an example for those younger than us, those older than us, those who are our peers. It doesn't matter. We're setting an example that we never have to be ashamed of, and we will always be satisfied with our choice. Let's choose life. Let's choose God. Now, that choice is open to you tonight. Of life, if you have not yet turned your life over to Christ, because life can only be had through Him. If you are ready to choose Him tonight, please do so. Please come forward and be baptized in His name while we stand and as we sing.